Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Alexa, you're like
chowing down on food. Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back. And today we are joined for what will surely be a G-rated podcast with Julie Rosenberg.
It will be because my kids are in the apartment. So
that's right. Last time you had it to yourself.
Yes, I did. It was late at night and I was like riled up from after the finale. This is like going to be more low key.
Alexa, what was it that we talked about last time that we bring up all the time?
I don't know if I can say it. You just triggered my alarm. I'm not sure if that's a procedure, I believe.
Yeah. There was a procedure.
There was an ultrasound involved.
Hmm. Oh, there was. Yes, there was. There was a lot of talk about below the waist.
Yes. If you have not watched our tell-all with Julie after last season, you are missing out. I don't know what you're doing and how you've been a fan of us and haven't watched that. This will get you hooked, but as she said, her children are home, so she'll be on her best behavior.
And they might make a guest appearance.
They might make a guest appearance. Ooh, I've heard that somebody might have their own power rankings.
Yes. So my son is very, very into Survivor and Survivor strategy, and he watches all these videos on YouTube about strategy and, you know, all the past seasons, and he knows way more than I do. Mm-hmm. So he has his own power rankings, and we actually did a draft pick at the beginning of the season, just the two of us. I think it wasn't until like a couple episodes in. We didn't start it right away. And I even have it here just to let you know how well I'm doing with my draft picks. I have left Janet and Dan.
Ooh.
And yeah. And he has everybody else, Tommy, Elaine, Lauren, Elizabeth, Nora, Dean, Karishma. So that's how my draft pick is going. So at some point you might want to replace me and my son can just come in here and take over because I think he has a better handle on it than I do.
See, but I like to make it where I'm always the best one on the podcast because my fantasy draft, the fantasy draft that we did with Alexa and Vaughn, has two people left. Vaughn has two people left and I have five people left. And the only person who I don't have left is Tom. So I like this. I like that, that Alexa and you both are down to two people. I'm sitting over here. I still have 5/6 of my tribe intact. And me and your son should be doing the specialists.
Yes. Yes. He could take over. He could actually replace both of you if you.
It should just be him.
It could just be him. Right. Right. It's a whole new perspective on the game.
I love it.
13-year-old.
There you go. That's at this point, I think we could use a perspective like that so that we can just like talk about Survivor and the fun that is Survivor.
Exactly. Yes. A clean, nice, innocent,
wholesome
take on the game. What's happening and why is there nothing going on in the chat?
You don't have a chat?
Oh, I didn't have it on live comments.
Yeah, the current.
It's not going to be nice?
No, it's just the. What? So someone. What?
Oh, someone said, take your shirt off.
Take my shirt off. But luckily, because he was upset with the content of the shirt, Gamer Girl, I wonder if Julie will haunt Phil with her wooden toys. How are, Julie, well, let's talk quickly with you. How have you been since Survivor? How are the wooden toys? How many have you mailed to Phil, et cetera?
He knows how many are in his apartment right now, don't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah, I have them all lined up on the wall.
you haven't found them yet, hiding?
That's what, okay.
So... They are there. So I'm doing great. Everything's great. Let's see. I talked to you last June, right after the finale. And I feel like life has gotten back to normal. Had a great summer. Now it's the fall. It really feels like actually it's winter now. And everything's good. The Etsy shop is great. People can check it out, except it's kind of on vacation mode right now for Thanksgiving because I have a lot of cooking to do. We're hosting it here and I'm not a cook. So I really need to like focus and put all my energy into Thanksgiving dinner. And after that, I'll get it back up and running. But yeah, okay. No, the toys are good. I don't have any out to scare Phil. I decided to take it easy on him this time.
How did your, I appreciate that, but how did your Survivor Specialist line go? I know you were creating Phil and Alexa wooden dolls.
I'm going to be honest. I'm still working on them. It's very hard to perfect like the exact details of your faces. So they're still being, maybe it'll be like a holiday gift like this year.
There you go.
It's still a work in progress.
All right, cool. You have 30 days.
30 days. Wow.
But not really, because I'm not everything. Nothing counts until after Thanksgiving. So
exactly. Okay. And losing Thanksgiving sounds terrifying. So best of luck for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's not terrifying, but
as somebody who goes to Friendsgivings, I go to Friendsgivings and I just bring like a 30 pack of Bud Light, and I'm like, I can't cook, so here's my offering to all of you.
Yes. Well, that's what I usually do, but this will be my first time actually not ordering stuff but trying to cook it.
Well, I want you to know, and we'll just name drop our Patreon right now off the bat here. We did our Thanksgiving feast podcast today for our $10 patrons, where we had put together everybody. And I want you to know, Julie, you made my Thanksgiving feast.
Why?
Well, you were one of the women that I chose out of the 10. And the main reason was because of your tell-all. I was like, you know what? If that's going to be Julie coming out, and this is going to be the Julie that's going to be at Thanksgiving dinner, like really going all in, this is what I want. So you made my table.
Okay, that's very nice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So anybody wants to listen to that, go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist and listen to me talk all about Julie Rosenberg. And that's where we talked about
that's the only person you need to talk about in all of Survivor.
Alexa didn't thank you.
I did. Sorry.
Well, you might not be getting that gift.
Yeah. If you're trying to decide who's to make first.
Two wooden toys, which is even better.
What? I can't hear you.
Two gifts, and that's even better.
Please still don't. Can't hear you. What's happening?
Let me adjust my...
Oh, no, now I can. Now I can. No, I hear you. I hear you.
All right. Now she's already into it.
I hear you. I hear you.
Thank you.
Oh, that was louder.
Well, Julie, what are you thinking so far of... This is your first season watching since you played.
Yes.
And this is the first season to air since you played, which makes sense, right? What are you thinking of this season so far?
So I really actually I liked the season. I mean, I was liking the season a lot. Obviously, things took a turn that probably people weren't expecting. But in the beginning of the season, I found it very entertaining. I really liked all of the cast. I think that they are here to play and they're playing hard and they're really good competitors. And then we also have really great characters too. And like, that's what makes like an entertaining Survivor season, I think. And I guess my thoughts are, I mean, the theme is the theme. Like, it seems to be that there's always a theme. I'm not so crazy about these island themes, obviously, like with the outcome of my season, but I feel like it's gimmicky, but I kind of understand why Survivor does it. I think they feel the need to mix it up because it's basically the same show for 20 years now. And I know everybody's complaining, get back to the basics and get rid of all the gimmicks. And But if it had been going like as is for 20 years, would people still be watching it? I don't know. Like, I think there does have to be some things to mix it up a little bit, especially now that it's always even filmed in the same location. Mm-hmm. So the theme, I could take it or leave it. It's funny. I actually last month in October, I did another podcast where I spoke about, I wasn't like a fan of the flashbacks because they were taking up a lot of airtime from previous seasons. And then, of course, the next week I was in the flashback where Chris hands me the necklace. And I was like, oh, guys, my kids were there, but I was like, I called the dogs in. I was like, everybody, I was like, I'm on the screen again. And then I was like, oh, flashbacks aren't so bad now. So, but all in all, I do like the season. I know that there's a lot of controversy going on and a lot of deep stuff. And I'm not an expert or specialist to really speak on that. And who we're all just watching it. We're watching an edit of everything. And it definitely took a turn, but I'm still a fan of the season. There's still people that I'm rooting for that I like watching. I find them entertaining. I think, I like it.
Yeah, and with the exit press that's coming out now, I'm not going to make any conclusions until the season has concluded. Because with the exit press that came out from Aaron and Missy, I'm like, what's going on? It's so weird. And I don't want to be sitting here saying we were sort of hard on Aaron and Missy, but I honestly don't think we were hard on Aaron and Missy compared to how a lot of people were. And we tried to keep it that way because I don't know what's going on. And then we see this exit press where Aaron says,
I'm not sure they knew what was going on. Yeah. That's the thing.
I don't want to use the word blameless, but I feel like they almost are because they just had absolutely no idea what was happening.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they realized, no one I think realized the seriousness of it or how it was going to be portrayed or viewed on TV or even that's any survivor, even in my season, we didn't have any controversy, but you never know 100% what's going on unless you're in on every conversation. And then even then, you're still wondering who's telling the truth and what's gameplay. And it's too hard. It's so complicated to blame people for what we're watching now as an edited view of everything. It's probably, not right.
Yeah. I agree. And so, again, I'll just wait until, what is it, December 18th, I believe, is the finale. I'll wait till December 19th, and then I'll start throwing my hate at everybody. Because that's what we do here. We just hate everybody.
No, yeah. You guys are nice. You don't hate everybody. No.
That's why Julie's back for a second time.
Right.
This is going to be great. You're the third person to be back
for your season. And I'm at your Thanksgiving dinner.
And you're at my Thanksgiving dinner.
Who else have you had?
We had Rick and Lauren both do this season so far.
Oh, yeah. When did Rick do it? Early on?
He did the first one.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So he got it easy because he got to just be like, oh yeah, it's great. Everybody's so nice. Lovely. I love them. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Brett LaBelle last week. Poor guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, he has his opinions. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to do power rankings, and Julie, we're going to see how good you are at this. I believe, who was Lauren's winner pick, Alexa? Because Lauren was very adamant about who her winner pick was going to be.
I don't know, but I just remember Lauren was convinced that Nora was safe, which she is.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
See, oh, no. She said Kelly was going to win, and then she texted us right after and was like, there goes my winner pick.
Okay. I actually had Kelly high for a long time. I think we all did. Usually, I guess we should have known. Sometimes, based on the edit, when things are looking too good for somebody, it never stays like that.
No.
So I have somebody in the other room that's peeking in that was wondering if he could join us for the power rankings or predictions or whatever you guys call them, because he has his own opinions of who's safe and who's not next week.
I love it.
And this is not a past survivor.
It's Jay, Wardog.
Would you like to come in? Yeah, but I do have a dog. Wait, come here. Come here, honey.
Oh, yeah, bring the dog too.
I like the idea, Julie, that you've hidden wooden dolls.
You have to slide this way.
Hi, Jake.
You have to hold them. Wait. That's the camera. Oh, he brought them. Wait, he can't hear you. I just realized he can't hear you. I have to show. That's the right ear. Oh, this is honey.
I don't know if he's allowed to be on here now, Julie, since he brought the wooden dolls out. I was all about this.
Tell me when you can hear him. Oh, that's honey.
Hi, honey.
To teach you said I watched Julie's tell all or and
I didn't see all of it.
And I saw that you were terrified about the ones with mouth, so I have ones with mouths.
Oh no, he doesn't. He likes the ones
with the camera.
Wait, you like them with mouths or without mouths? The camera's up here.
Without, he hates them both.
I think they look beautiful.
I hate them both. Yeah. Thanks, though, Julie. Thanks. I thought I was going to get through this without trauma, but I guess not.
Sorry.
That's what we get for being nice.
So, Jake, thank you for coming on. What are you thinking of the season so far?
So I think so far, I think it's been a really good season. I think the amount, I think Island of the Idols maybe has been a little bit too, like, too much on the advantages.
I'm going to eat while he talks.
I would think you might want to tone it down a little bit, which I think they're doing. They might have stopped it at the parts. I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't shown. We haven't seen Island of the Idols in 2 weeks now, right?
Or it's Jamal, like they got in a purple edit all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They're not really shown so much anymore. But no, they can't get rid of it. I mean, it's like the theme of the whole season with those statues alone of their heads. Like,
yeah.
They're not going to get rid of it, but it is kind of weird.
They built those statues for a reason. They spent money on them.
Yeah.
Where do you think what I want to know is where those statues are right now. Did someone take them home?
Like Easter Island.
Are they in CBS Studios? Are they on Easter Island? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they burn them like a sacrifice.
Symbolic.
Or like a
all that hard work and then you just burn them.
Instead of sacrificing people to the gods, you sacrifice the gods themselves. Mm.
Ooh,
that's true.
That's good. It's a whole new level.
What about all the people who are then going out there for season 40 and rumored obviously to be Rob and Sandra among them. And maybe what if they just left those heads up and then one of the trigams is on that island. So like we can really see how production feels about those two players versus everybody else. That could have been like a nice thing too.
Poor Yul Kwan or Ethan Zahn who haven't played in so long. They're just staring at Boston Rob and Sandra's heads.
Yeah.
If, I think that they're going to be on that season, which is unclear.
Yes. Yeah. We don't know anything. At this point. Otherwise, everybody's just been dieting very strongly. A lot of Survivor winners on the 2019 diet. Very strange.
Yeah. And a lot of twists, like Edge of Extinction, I have heard, is coming back.
Yeah.
Which I always said, did I even say it on the tell-all with you guys in June that I thought that maybe Edge of Extinction – they were using it as a test on our season for a potential, like, all returning players season where they want to be able to keep everybody on the screen.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, our season was a practice for it, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that could very well. I mean, that seems like what they did. If it's coming back for 40, they wanted to make sure it was something that could work and that, you know, somebody could come back and win, which happens. But now we've had those I'm going to tell my kids memes that have been going around, and we've had like the Gavin picture. Like, I'm going to tell my kids this was the winner of season 40 or 38. And like, we've been doing that a lot.
And then, Gavin and not me, really, Phil?
Unfortunately, that was the picture I saw. I'll go look. You've been killing it so much on Twitter that we don't need to defend you. Okay. You
do
it
yourself.
Good Twitter is good tweets recently. But,
you know what? I've decided, and I'm not even like reading this side chat because I have no idea if people are saying anything negative over there. So I was going to say, I think I've decided, so I never had Twitter before, Survivor, before my season started airing. Like I opened an account in February and I only used it for Survivor and I never have used it for anything else because I don't really understand it. And do people really care about my thoughts on random, I don't know. I don't even know what it is. So I was thinking, should I start using Twitter for other purposes besides Survivor? I could do a Twitter poll with a tweet about, I didn't even used to know that it was called tweets. I thought they were called like twits. I don't know what they were called. Right. So I'll like dabble in using Twitter for something else other than Survivor. That's my new thought.
I love
Twitter.
It.
I spend too much time on Twitter and it's there. Especially when the Survivor stuff was tough the past 2 weeks, I was turning away from that and all I saw was politics, which was surprisingly not as upsetting. So
yeah,
it's a little tough, but
it's like reality TV or politics.
That's it.
You should do a poll about what you're going to make at your Thanksgiving dinner.
That's already planned, Alexa. Come on. Have you not
It is Sunday, Alexa.
It's in like 4 days. Like, of course it's planned. I just didn't say I was going to know how to cook it, but it's all planned.
Well,
so.
Well, maybe we could do a you could do a Twitter poll. Poll. You could do a Twitter poll of who ends up with the best power rankings, and then everybody could say who they agree with out of Alexa, Julie, Jake, and myself.
Okay.
And we're going to start off with number one here.
Okay, here.
And I'm asking Jake first.
This is your list, Jake. Mine's here.
Who's the safest person this coming week? Who's the safest?
I think that it's Nora.
Same.
Ooh.
I also have Nora at number one.
I have Nora at number two, but not my number one.
All right, tell us both your tell us your thoughts on Nora.
Okay, so what I think about Nora is, first of all, since Merge, her name has not come up once. She won immunity, so I feel like she could probably win again.
I do think she's a very big competitor in these challenges. She's probably one of the best, is what I'm imagining from here on out. I think she's very strong. So that's why she's my number two. I mean, I can talk about her with him like as number one and two. I think she's going to be hard to beat at challenges.
I don't think Nora is hurting anyone's game. I don't think her in is managing to damage anyone else.
Look at my notes.
So like no one would want, I don't think getting her out is going to be as good as say getting someone else out.
I also think that, I mean, to me, she's become a very rootable character, like our player in the game. I know, you know, there are certain players that are these kooky type characters, and she's just become like more endearing. And I see a lot of fans like kind of getting behind her and rooting for her now. And I think that even like last week, all of a sudden we started seeing some strategic stuff where I maybe I'm wrong, but wasn't she the one that kind of started the idea of getting the vote off of Janet and onto Aaron?
Yeah, you know, it was all her idea.
Right, looking at her at him as a physical threat. And, you know, so all of a sudden I feel like there is more stuff that positive stuff that we're seeing besides like the kooky edit that she was getting so much in the beginning. And wait, I'm doing that. Are we in that?
Yeah.
No, that made it like 20 times worse.
all right, let's go.
You have to slide. Wait. No, yes. No. Okay.
Perfect. You guys are great.
So what do you guys think of Nora? Because I'm becoming a big fan of Nora's, and I do think she's going to keep going in this game. I don't think her time is done yet.
I have loved Nora since day one. And I think you're right. There's kind of the two different sides of Nora that people either like or don't like. I think I've always thought kind of her antics and her way of being have been really funny and really endearing. And then I think the past 2 weeks with, you know, with the 2-hour merge episode, she said, you know what? This feels wrong. I'm going to vote for Dan. Aaron's going to win immunity challenges. I'm going to vote for Aaron. They're just very succinct. They're logical. And I think people see Nora and they don't realize that she's very, very smart. And I think you're both right. She's a nutritionist. She's very athletic. And I think she'll continue to do very well in challenges.
Yeah.
I think she's going to go far.
Speaking of challenges, can we talk about, what happened directly after she won?
Yes.
Threw her thing.
Sorry. I keep trying to do this.
Okay. No, because I would probably do the same thing, so I shouldn't be critical. You would probably be really excited after winning, but
I think in the moment you forget. Like it's like being in those challenges, like your mind is on nothing else but like what you're doing in that exact second. And it's so intense, and I just feel like she slipped, like her mind slipped. She forgot that she was supposed to keep going. I think many other people could have probably done the same thing.
Well, in defense, Jeff mentioned it to them while they were starting the challenge. They had already been in the challenge when Jeff said, "By the way, whoever wins this is going to get peanut butter and jelly." She might have not heard it.
How long did she go on for before she was done?
20-something minutes probably.
Yeah.
Right. So like maybe he's in the first 5 minutes, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, your brain is probably shaken up from like they were all like going like this the whole time. That I just, you know, I think it was an easy mistake to make. Not everybody would do it, but I can understand it.
I think
I would have been pissed. Like that peanut butter and jelly was the best thing I ever ate on that show. So like I know what it's like to like
wait. So mom, your angle is like Yeah, I get it, but screw you.
I'm not saying that to Nora. No, I like Nora.
You bring up a good point with the peanut butter and jelly, Julie, because people always say that Survivor pizza looks really gross. Survivor peanut butter and jelly always looks really good.
It's so good. It honestly was like the best meal I'd ever had, I think, out there out of everything. And it wasn't much, but it was really good. And yes, the pizza, that's why I didn't give up. One of the reasons I didn't give up the chance at immunity in the challenge, because I saw like he takes the blanket. Oh, you want to, but if you don't want to do the challenge, you can have this. And he takes off the blanket. It looks like a pile of shit. Like, so I'm like, I'm not eating that. Like, that looks terrible. And I'll do the challenge. The pizza was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have Nora at number 3. I tried to do my power rankings this week actually based on how I think people are going to finish, because Alexa and I kind of talked about that on the last podcast.
I was told to do this. Yeah, number one is the safest. No,
we do that. Number one
is the safest. Number 9 is the most likely to go home just this coming week.
I've been doing this since season 30, and this is the first time I've ever felt confident enough to do it this way.
You're saying that this
I think Nora is going to get third place on this season, but like normally I would sit there and I wouldn't put certain people at number one who could still be in danger. Like, for instance, my number one is Tommy. And on a normal season, Julie just squinted at me so hard for anybody who's just listening.
Was that obvious?
You fell out of the couch.
You think he's going to go home next week?
No, Tommy is who I think is going to win the game.
So
he's my number one.
We do too. Same with us. He's our number one. Janet and Tommy. I have them.
So what I'm saying is normally on a regular season of Survivor, whoever's going to win, like Dom and Wendell, I wasn't putting at 1 and 2 because they could have always gone home. You always felt like Dom and Wendell were threats. I don't think anybody thinks Tommy's a threat, so I have no problem putting him at number one because I just don't see him going home this week. I don't see him going home next week. Like, he's in our finale.
He's in my middle. See, I have my people who I think are going to make it to the end or the finale in the middle, because I still think at some point some of them probably might have to go or are going to go, but I don't think that they're going this week.
I have Tommy and Lauren at 5 and 6. Only because I think people have been talking about splitting them up for a long time.
They are the only pair that seems to be left in the game. That's obvious. I don't even know who the alliances are anymore.
I don't really think there are alliances.
Mm-hmm. No, except maybe now. I mean, Tommy and Lauren definitely, I think, are going to stick together. I don't see either one turning on each other now. And I think they brought in Karishma and Elaine like for that vote. And I could see the four of them becoming now a foursome. For a bit. I don't know if it's going to last, but so they're kind of in my middle range, I think.
Yeah. I think that based on what I've seen, I think that Tommy, Lauren, Janet, and Dan, the four of them were close together on the original Vokai. And now they still have Nora, but Vokai has the numbers back. There's four of them and there's five of everybody else. I think the four of those, like that group of four, I don't see any of them going home this week or the next week because they can pull in a Karishma who clearly doesn't want to work with Elizabeth, who I think is in trouble coming up, or they can pull in a Nora or maybe even a Dean. And I think that that group of four really can work together. And I think that all of them are probably, my guess is that all of them are in the finale. And then I think it's Nora and Karishma. I think those are the final six. I really do.
Interesting.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes, we've gone way off track, and I'm confused now with my
name. Well, who's your number one, Julie? Could you tell us your number two?
Okay, so I got to look at this paper, which I can't read because I don't have my glasses on. Karishma, I have as number one as the safest for next week. I think at this point, I don't think she's going to be people's votes. She also has the idol, which, is huge. I am curious to see if she tells anybody that she has the idol or not. I don't think she will. I don't know if she has a true connection with anyone in the game that she feels safe enough to share that information with. So I'm betting she's not going to tell anybody. And I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think that she got a fairly not great edit in the beginning, obviously, but like she's kind of coming into her own now. And you know, I think she's smarter than people are giving her credit for. I think that she probably is a little bit of a better player than people are giving her credit for. And we're just seeing the edit. So, you know, we've been given a particular edit for her. And I just don't, I don't know. I don't know my true feelings on her as a player, as a person. Like, it's hard. It's hard. I don't want to, like, judge people. I really don't.
What I have Karishma, too.
Me too.
For the same reason why I have kind of Nora. One is just because Karishma's name has come up and Nora's hasn't. Phil, I like what you were talking about earlier with those four pulling in someone. I mean, Elaine just kind of flipped, now even before, like, so there's kind of five right there. Elaine, mm-hmm. Tommy, Lauren, like Dana, Jana.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I love Karishma.
I think Karishma's going to stay safe. I think, I don't think she's going to win. I think she's not going to change people's perceptions of her at this point. I think I personally know what that's like. And I think it's just like too hard of a road for her to get to a spot where she can actually win this game. But I do think that she's very safe for the next couple of votes for sure. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alexa.
So this is a quick point. So this season, named Island of the Idols, only one idol has been played correctly. And it's because Kelly handed it to Dean, literally handed it to him on a silver platter. I think in addition to that, the only other correct idol play that will happen will be hers, because I think she's very aware of how she's perceived. And Julie, I think you're right. I don't know if that perception will change. I don't agree with that being right, but I think that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
But I think she knows where she stands. And I think when she plays that will shock so many people. And I think that could be a big 180 for her.
And right. It would be great if she feels safe and she is safe. And that's sorry. This is just and she, lean forward. Okay. Yeah. See, now we're coming. I think it would be great if she's safe and she actually gets to use it. Say she uses it without anybody knowing, right? Like mm-hmm. she has this plan where she saves somebody else at Tribal that she needs to save, say, and makes that kind of move. I think that would be really cool to like see her kind of do that kind of thing.
I think she's going to end up idling out like Dan for some reason. Dean. Because Dean's edit was so quiet early on, and then it's picked up, and now he's been really integral to the story. But I could see him, who seems like he's playing a pretty good game. Like, he's been on top of his stuff since the Chelsea boot. But I could see him getting, like, just booted by an idol play by Karishma, and everybody going, wait, where did that come from? And you got rid of somebody who could have potentially won the game. Because out of the nine people left, I look at Tommy and Janet as the clear front runners. Whoever they sit next to, unless it's each other, they win. And then everybody else is kind of like, does Dean beat Nora? I don't know. Does Lauren beat anybody? I don't know. Like, it's so up in the air right now that I think that somebody like Dean could possibly win the game. And I think I could see Karishma playing the idol and getting him out of the game at some point.
That would be interesting. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that Dean, I like Dean. Actually, Dean lives a block away from us and in the neighborhood. And I have met him. He's a very nice guy. I know nothing about mm-hmm. the game and what happens with him in the game. But I think that he got such an invisible edit in the beginning that most people would say there's no way that he's going to be able to win this game with that kind of edit. So it's hard, like, to kind of, are we judging things based on the edits or judging on what, like, you know, what we're seeing? It's hard to say.
I agree. My number two is Lauren. So I have Karishma. Yeah, I have Karishma.
Oh, right. You're going the weird
way. I'm doing it the right way. We're all here. We're all
here. All right.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little
confusing. It's confusing to me.
So I think that first, second, and third is Tommy's one, Karishma's two, and then Nora is three. I don't have Karishma at two. Sorry. I have Lauren at two. I typed Karishma in my spot instead of Jake's spot. So I have, what happened.
Do you think that this week Lauren is safer than Karishma?
Honestly,
Lauren's pretty safe.
I think Lauren has a 0% chance to be voted out of Survivor Island of the Idols. I really do. I never see her getting voted out because Lauren's name has never come up. People keep talking about trying to split up Tommy and Lauren, but then they never actually act on it. And if you're going to gun for somebody, like if you can rally the troops, if Elaine and Karishma and Nora and Dean and Dan, if they all for some reason decide to vote out Tommy or Lauren, you're voting Tommy out 100% of the time because right. Tommy is so much more of a threat to win the game. Or you vote out Janet. There is no chance you vote out Lauren in this game. She hasn't gotten a vote yet.
I agree.
I think there's kind of one scenario in which Lauren goes.
Right, I'm ready.
And that's kind of where we get to a place, say maybe final seven or six, when Janet has already gone, and then Tommy wins immunity. I could see Lauren going and saying that scenario.
I think she only goes home in kind of the stray bullet is the wrong word, but the we can't get him, so let's get his closest ally.
I feel like that's how so many people in my season went out because we couldn't get out Rick.
Right.
The rope was always on Rick, like for the second half of the season, you know, if it could be, I guess.
And I'm not going to sit here and say Karishma is completely safe because she has an idol, because so far on this season, getting an idol means like you're gone that week.
I know. But she knew not to play it this time. Like, you know, she obviously, I was so excited when she found it. And so that island that they're on right now is my comma beach where I started. And exactly like where she found it, I looked so many times. Like we had a million trees like that where they had these weird, I forget what kind of trees they are, but they had these weird branchy pole things at the bottom, roots. And I had a feeling it was going to be in there.
Well, it's good to know that they're not always hiding idols in the same spot.
Oh, sometimes they are. Sometimes they are. It seems like they might be.
Good study material.
It was also interesting. Didn't Kelly find her second idol? It was somewhere on the beach, on like inside a log that was on the beach or something.
Yeah, it was quick. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. None of ours were ever on the beach. And I think we all kind of finally gave up thinking that they'd be on the beach because we thought maybe it's just like too risky with the sand and the wind and I don't know what. But so I was like, oh, there's one on the beach.
Yeah.
So,
Alexa, okay. Who's your two?
My number two is also Karishma.
Okay.
Yeah. I figured we would all have Nora and Karishma pretty high up.
Right. They're my one and two. And I mean, it could go either way.
They're my one and two as well.
But not Phil, because he decided to change
the rules. I'm breaking the rules.
He's gone rogue.
I've gone rogue, but also like they missed their chance to get rid of Tommy. They did. They had two chances to get rid of Tommy this season, and they missed their chance both times. One was because they ended up winning the immunity challenge, and we see him like screaming, and then he wins. And then last week was the chance to get rid of him.
I love that. When he screamed and collapsed on the
floor, it was amazing.
We were so excited. He's been sick. He's been I know that emotional feeling, like when you're feeling like if you're in that, well, I don't know, I wasn't in trouble, but if you're feeling like you're in that much trouble and then like he needed his team to win, you could see that was just pure, real emotion there. And I loved it. That's what I like, right? Don't we all like
that's what we all want.
I love that.
That's what makes for great TV.
Except everybody hates Tommy, so, you know.
Why?
I don't know. Alexa, why does everybody hate Tommy?
I think the internet, I don't know when it happened, but I think the internet has decided that he's boring.
That's not right.
Which isn't fair. I mean, the guy's done nothing wrong. He's playing a good game. I think people are just looking for
something. I think he's getting a very positive edit, but like, are you basing your decision when, this is what I was going to say, Phil, when you said that you don't, like, they missed their chance to get out Tommy, right? Like, they could have taken these chances and now they're not going to get another one or whatever. Like, but you're thinking that because you're watching Tommy's edit and how great he looks on, because he's being given a very positive edit, but you're not in the game. They may not think Tommy's so great. We haven't seen all the bad stuff about Tommy, or if there is any, sorry, Tommy, but so it's what's obvious to us may not be so obvious in the game.
That's why I think he's even safer. That's why I feel confident putting him at number one, because last week he goes to a tribal council with the four original Lyro women who have been talking about a women's alliance the entire time, and he survives it. And I don't think anybody realizes, everybody's been saying Janet gets to the end, she can win. You know, they were talking about that last
week.
Nobody's
saying that about him.
Nobody's saying that about Tommy. Now, and so I'm so confident.
Is he a winner pick because of the color of his hair?
No, actually, my winner pick before the season was Missy, and now she's gone. So now I can just go all in on
Tommy. I remember last season it was Victoria, and now it's Tommy.
Did you know that Tommy mentioned us on when he interviewed with Josh Wiggler before the season? He mentioned us, and pretty much that's all you have to do. He pretty much bribed me, and I'm like, sure, Tommy, you're my winner pick. Good job.
I didn't even know who you were.
Well, you know what, Julie?
Now.
You know what?
Right.
I mean, anyway, that was your loss.
I'm seeing a slight obsession in the way you're picking your winner picks. So you might want to think about that.
Yeah, well, Janet.
Janet's who I want to win super bad. I actually want Janet to win more than Tommy right now, but I just don't see a path where she does win. So I'll get to Janet in a second.
Okay.
But I think Janet's going to be somebody who just misses. I actually, I won't even have to get to her in a second. I think Janet's going to get fourth on this season. I think she's going to be like our fall-in right at the end of the game. If she would have gotten to the end, kind of like what happened with Devins. If he gets to the end.
Do you think she's going to be in the fire-making challenge?
I do.
Which I think she can win the fire-making challenge.
That's true.
Who would she lose to? Episode one?
No, you're right.
When I saw that, I was like, when I heard there was, what is she, 59? Or she was 59 when she filmed this season. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like when I was trying out for the season, for the show, right before I made it, I was watching Ghost Island, and the oldest person on Ghost Island was 43, and I was so worried that I wasn't going to get cast anymore because I was 46, and I thought I had aged out as Survivor. So now, like on episode one of this season, to see a 59-year-old woman and the way she talked about like fighting that older woman stereotype, and she knew she had to like change their perspectives and make fire right away. Like I was so impressed, and it was like everything. I feel like I did everything opposite Janet. Like I'm the opposite Janet. And what I could learn a lot of lessons from Janet because she's amazing to me. And she and Tommy to me are like the two heroes of the season.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to change them where I put Janet. I'm gonna put her at five because somehow she's not winning. And you're right. She can't lose the fire making challenge because who's going to beat her. So I'll put her at five. So which means Karishma is my four.
I have. Okay.
Number three.
I have Janet at three.
I also have Dan at three. We're very similar, Jake.
I have Dan at six. Oh, you and Alexa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have Dan at six, but you guys can talk why Dan at three.
You go ahead, Jake.
Okay, so I have Dan at three, basically because I think he's in a really good spot right now. If we forget everything that kind of happened with the 2-hour merge episode, I think Dan has been like kind of escaped that and found like a new life. I think he's doing really well, and like he's close with Tommy and Laura, and he's close with Laura. And there
it seems like his relationship with Janet has been rebuilt. Mm-hmm.
He has like four people who probably wouldn't want to vote him out right now, and that's kind of all it takes because five is the majority of nine.
And I think that same group that people are saying that Tommy and Lauren are so tight and how people would only get rid of Lauren if they like, because they can't get rid of Tommy. I think that's the same thing with Dan. You should get rid of Lauren and Tommy before you get rid of Dan.
And so, Janet. Yeah.
And Janet. So, yeah.
It's too hard for me to understand like what everyone's thoughts are on him. And because like I'm trying to put my mind in their brains, like while they were out there now, after that all happened, because obviously it seems very clear based on some of the exit press of the people who have been voted out or Ponderosa videos. It's very unclear, really who thinks what, who knew what, or what exactly was happening. I mean, obviously we see stuff on video, we see what he's doing, but what other people's perceptions of it are, it's not so clear to me anymore. I don't think it's so obvious as it was to us watching it, like how inappropriate it was. Like, and even me watching it as a previous contestant, like no time in the game did anyone put their hands on me, like where I would feel that I felt it was like creepy and uncomfortable. Like I can't even picture that happening. So clearly something was going on, and it was very inappropriate. And I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but I think that so Dan was in my casting with me in the February before I got cast for 38, and he was the only Carl from 37 was in my casting, as well as somebody else, I think, but nobody on my season was in my casting. And I had heard a rumor that Dan was actually supposed to be on my season.
He was,
and got injured like a week before or 2 weeks before. And so they had to like postpone him. And all I keep thinking is like, oh my gosh, like if he had been on my season, I think I would have, just from us being in casting together, like you immediately like bond with people that even though you've never spoken to them, you're making eye contact the whole week you're in casting. I remember him very clearly thinking, okay, he looks about my age. You know, we're going to be two of the older people. If we end up on the same season, like we'll have to watch out for each other, which is exactly what I ended up doing with Ron and why I connected with Ron so quickly on Comma. Cause we were the two people that were 46. So I think that now I'm just quite feeling lucky that, sorry that Dan hurt himself, but I'm glad that, you know, that wasn't my season.
I think so too. I guess disclaimer, I have Dan at number three strictly based on game stuff.
All right. Well, he's my number six.
Yes.
Yeah. I have him at six.
I don't see him going
but...
home, but I don't see him.
He's not winning, but he's not going home this week.
Yeah. That's what I have him right at six as well.
Right.
Okay.
Julie, who's your three though?
So I have Dean as number three and I'm looking to write to see why. Oh, I just don't think anyone has a reason to vote him out right now. He is not, I haven't heard his name come up in a long time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to be a threat in any way, even though he was talking about, well, if Aaron goes, then like, I'm going to be the next target. I think, was he saying that to Dan? As if the two of them are the next two challenge beasts?
Like,
Dan? Like, really? Dean, I mean, just because physically you can see how strong he is or how what he looks like, but he hasn't performed that great in challenges. I don't see him as a huge challenge threat in everybody else's mind. I don't see him as a strategic threat. I think that he is like, seems like a free agent. I'm not sure who he's ever really been connected with besides with Kelly when she gave him her idol. Mm-hmm. And I think that, right. And it seems like a lot of these people that are alone like are going to start to join to are joining together. I know they said the whole thing with the goat army and the, you know, previews for this coming week.
Oh, and by the way, for the people wondering who replaced Dan, it was Ron.
That's what we think. Yes, that is.
Yeah,
what
no, I believe that too.
From
I mean,
the demographic.
Just from the demographic, the same age type of guy. No, sorry, Ron. I'm not going to try and compare them. They're not the same type of guy, obviously. Sorry, Ron. But in terms of just right demographically who they are.
Ron tweets one mean thing about you, Julie. I'm just kidding.
We don't need to talk about
we Ron. Know, we know what you meant here. Yeah, because but it is. It's the 40s. Both work in entertainment. So, I mean, I know that Ron is a teacher, but he's a personality too. He's not just a teacher. I mean, I love following his Instagram because you just get to watch like Ron, like, dance and do weird stuff.
I just mean it like, look, they're both like, right, men in their 40s. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have replaced Dan with like another Joe. Like, I mean, that would.
What if it's
like,
War Dog?
It could have been
about the same type of athlete, right?
So Dean, Dean is my number three, and
I have Dean at seven.
You do? You think he's not so safe?
Yeah, I just thought with kind of the goat army, if that is a thing, and I hope it is because that would be awesome. I just kind of have a pessimistic view of them.
Of who?
Of that the goat army working. I don't think it would. I feel like somehow that goes and blows up and one of the people involved goes home or something.
You think it could be Dean? I just don't think anyone's looking at Dean, even with that stupid fake advantage that he got from Jamal. I think everyone knew that was fake. It's not, he's not a target because people think he has some advantage. It was, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
So, I actually, go ahead, Alexa.
What? So one thing that I've seen some people. One thing that people are commenting on. So I rewatched the preview and some people are actually thinking that when Dean does his salute, like, oh, the goat army, people actually think he might be making fun of it rather than.
No, I think he knows he's part of it. Don't you?
So? I can't tell. At first, I thought he was part of it, but he's.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
I think he's making fun of himself. He seems like a self-deprecating kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Just like the way he's carried himself throughout this game, it's just his demeanor, like his body language. I think he's kind of making fun of it that he knows he hasn't been able to be the lead on anything, has he? And he knows that. So he knows that he has to be part of that, like in my mind. But I'm curious to see.
Yeah. I have Dean further down too, but I'm so far ahead of everybody. I don't want to keep going. But I have Dean further down just because I think it's more that they run out of places for Dean. Like if Elizabeth to me feels like the obvious choice this week. Missy and Aaron just went. Elizabeth was very against Janet. Janet feels like she's gotten control back. So now it's got to be Elizabeth who goes home this week. But
I have her number nine.
That's who I have at number nine.
Why are we talking about number nine? I just talked about my number three.
I have someone else at number nine, but we'll get there later.
But what I'm saying is, if it's not,
that's the way to host a show, Phil.
That is the way. No, he knows what he's doing. I don't know why I'm doing it.
Jake, what do you do Wednesday nights at 9 p.m.? Do you want to start podcasting with me?
That's when they do their recap after the episode is over. They do that.
Episode will be over.
The predictions for the next week. No, he's doing homework.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a really good point to make here. Okay. It was a great point. Great point. What I'm saying is I think that if Elizabeth were to win immunity this week, I don't see the Vokais turning on themselves, and I don't think Karishma goes. So you're starting to run out of people because now you're down to three people it can be, and it's Elaine, Dean, or Elizabeth. If Elizabeth wins immunity or something like that happens, Dean kind of goes just because you're out of numbers. You just ran out of people to vote out of the game. And who aren't in your alliance. And so now Dean's name is automatically just coming up.
Like by default, because Elaine went with Tommy.
Maybe
like an outsider type of.
I feel like he could just be in a little bit more trouble than we think because we're getting
right. I'm banking on my number nine going home, I guess. Okay. That's why I put him higher because I don't think I'm only looking at this week coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't spoil who your number nine was yet, right, Julie?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, because it's supposed to be in order.
Actually, none of us have, except for you, Phil.
No, right. Julie definitely did, because me and Julie are the same one.
How do we know?
Because you said it. So Julie and Alexa, you both have number four here.
Julie, let's hear your number four.
Okay, my number four is... Okay, so now I have Lauren. I have a group. Basically, I think she's not a target. She's never been a target. She's paired with Tommy. I think Tommy's the bigger target. Anybody's looking at the two of them for sure. And I think she's fairly safe, and I think she's gonna make it to the finale.
Mm-hmm.
I have Elaine at four. I have this just because I think she made the underrated underrated best move of last episode by voting Missy out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this because I think what we're talking about, like, Vokai, if they're going to go strong, they have to go on some Lyra. So I think if Elaine recognized this, then, which I think she did, then she would have realized that she needs to do something to protect one of those Vokai to avoid being, like, say, ninth or eighth. And so I think Tommy can put in a good word for her if they are talking about Lyra.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about how creepy that was? What Missy whispered in her ear right before she left Tribal Council. I'm sorry. Where was it? I'd kill Elaine slowly and methodically.
No, correct. So Missy whispers to Elizabeth, "You know you have to kill Elaine now."
Slowly and methodically.
And then Elizabeth goes slowly and methodically.
Right. No. Missy said that. Missy said it all to her. Yes. No, I was like, oh my God, like you really are a villain here. It sounded very, I would have crawled under my stool if I had heard that at Tribal Council.
Jeff, I'll go home instead.
Yeah. Like, I'm scared now. So who do you guys then have number four?
So for number four, I have Janet. I agree with Phil in that I would like her to win, but I do not see the path for her to get there. But I think her and Dan reconnecting was really big for her. And I don't mean that in the sense of him, but I just mean that in the sense of she has social capital now when she didn't after that merge episode. So I think she took a big step back this week. And I think having the tribes divided was huge for her. I think it benefited her more than anybody. And so I think now she can just take a step back. Other people will win immunities. Other people are going to start eating each other. I think because that giant alliance blew up, she is safe for a little bit. I think she's always just going to still be this huge threat, but I think people are going to want to use her as a number, even though she's not just someone's number. Mm-hmm. They'll want to use her to do something crazy like getting Tommy, Elaine, somebody else home.
Again, do you think they all see her as such a big threat the way we do?
I think
they've said it.
Or do they just all really like her? I can't remember like what people have said.
I think they really like her. I think they really respect her. I think she has been a good quiet leader. I think they all look up to her, but don't see her as like the big leader. I think someone said it. What, I don't know if it was.
It was last week when they were determining whether she should go home or not.
Like she made fire. She did this. Like she's been floating around.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It's hard for me to keep track of who says what about who.
Yeah.
Phil, did you do your four?
I had Karishma at four. Because remember, I was going to put Janet and then you convinced me I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
So I put Karishma at four and then I put Janet at five. So we're up to five for Alexa and Julie. You both have five.
After you.
I have Tommy as five. I see him winning. I think I could see him as an easy winner of the game. There's really been nothing negative shown about him. I love his emotions. Like I said before, I think it makes it super exciting. Even when he had the tears in his eye at the well, when he thought he was in trouble of going home. I think we've seen all sides of him. I don't agree with whatever's going on in the internet or, Reddit or
being
plain. You go out there and try and play this game, while you're starving and sleep deprived and, the rain coming down on you. Right. And then try and be entertaining in every confessional that you give. It's ridiculous. The only thing is I have him at five, even though I think he is going to probably be, in the finals or at least in the finale. I think he's the only one that probably is going to be really seen as a threat, a bigger threat right now, either in the challenges or strategically. So I think that he could have some sort of target on him. So that's why I have him in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way. Last week was the first week that Tommy got votes, right?
I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I think what we're saying and that we view him as a huge threat, but nobody else does, is right. But I think because he got two votes, and granted they were from someone who left and Elizabeth, I think he is going to be exposed. I think it helps that this was Elaine's idea, and the heat will fall back on Elaine as the person who kind of came up with this. But there's not much room to hide. And I think with Aaron being gone and with Missy being gone, immunities will probably be up between Nora, Tommy.
What do you mean the heat will be on?
I think the attention will be on Elaine because she made this big move to get rid of her own ally.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was Elizabeth, only from Elizabeth will the heat be on her. I don't think anyone else is going to be bothered that Missy is out of this game.
I guess heat's the wrong word, but more of Elaine can make a move because no one,
right?
She can, which is
shocking. We saw in the premiere about people's thoughts on Elaine if she gets to the end and her with her storyline, and that's why, I have Elaine lower on the list, but we can we'll get there. Mm-hmm.
So I think Tommy's safe, but I think because his name has finally come up, it could continue to, so that's just why I have him in the middle.
Yeah
Phil?
Five? No, I had Janet at five. I agree with what everybody's saying about Tommy. It's just it's something about Missy going instead of Tommy last week made me think that, again, Julie, it comes back to what you've been saying this whole time. Do they think that this person's as much of a threat as we do? They got rid of Missy over Tommy in a prime position to get rid of Tommy.
But look at how Missy was playing the game in so much more of an obvious, very mm-hmm. aggressive way. She is a tough competitor. She was playing hardcore, but I just think too aggressively, and especially obviously the way she spoke and treated Karishma in what we saw, why wouldn't Karishma want to get rid of her? Like Tommy or Missy are going to be both strong players. And I think I heard somebody else say this, you're going to want to, sometimes it is a personal decision based on who's been nice to you. Even if it's not how you should play Survivor, but at the same time, I don't think it was the wrong call to get rid of Missy at this point. She was playing very aggressively.
She was playing very aggressively. I don't know what her chances would have looked like if she actually sat in a final three, but clearly somebody's thinking that she can win.
Yeah, I thought as much as we're saying this was the prime time to get rid of Tommy, this was the time to get rid of Missy.
And Aaron. And to get Aaron at the same time. I mean, there was a threesome. They were the only real threesome going on, I think, in this game that we can really see. Elizabeth, Tommy, and Aaron. I mean, not Elizabeth, Aaron, and Missy. And now two of them just got knocked out. it really changes up the game, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. So we've all done our six. Jake had Lauren. Julie and I both had Dan. Alexa, who's your six?
I have Dean, and I really don't know why. I think you guys are right in that why should someone get rid of Dean? What is he doing that's making anyone need to get rid of him? But I think just not having allies for this long is going to catch up with him at some point, because like people are going to start making final two and final three deals. And I don't really know who Dean's going to sell that to and who's going to sell that to him. So I think he's fine, but I don't know. I mean, number six out of nine, that's not terrible, but I don't know. I'm just always, I always feel like you could go home, because if someone brings his name up, no one will ever defend him.
Yeah.
Right. But also, I mean, I think at this point in the game, it's going to, when it gets to a certain number left, yes, you're making those deals, but so many people are making deals with like everybody, it almost feels like half the time. You know, I don't even know if people know what deals are real and what aren't. Mm-hmm. But you can't stop now thinking about like, well, now who are you want to go to the end with that you think you can beat? And if people think that Dean's just kind of been there and hasn't made a lot of big moves, then that's obviously, I'm not so sure that he's in trouble going home anytime soon. Mm-hmm. It depends how they're thinking of him.
So my seven is Elaine. And the reason I put Elaine above Dean is because of what Alexa just said with the friend thing, where Elaine has shown she's willing to kind of play ball with Tommy now and play ball with Karishma. And Dean hasn't really had to show that yet. And I know that he did vote the right way at the last tribal council, but there is nobody who's sitting there going, Dean's my guy. Dean's my number one. Got to go to the end with Dean. The person who would have said that is sitting on the jury and Kelly. And so I think that Elaine, like if Tommy sits down with Lauren and Elizabeth were to win immunity this week, and they were to sit down and say, who do we get rid of? Do we get rid of Elaine or do we get rid of Dean? Well, Elaine would work with us. Dean's never going to work with us. Or he hasn't shown he'll work with us, and Elaine has.
I can see that now. Right. If you're looking at the original tribe alliances, or right, like the Vokai, I don't even know. There's, what are the names? Vokai.
And Lyra.
Lyra. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the vowels and which way. Okay. Right. Like if they're going to stick together, Noor's been with them, Dan, Janet, like from the beginning, with Tommy and Lauren, right, like that whole group, then if Elizabeth somehow is safe next week based on an immunity win, I could, right, I think they're going to keep Karishma. Obviously, that whole winking thing between Tommy and
oh my God,
Karishma, they had a little moment there. Right, I like that. I thought that was so funny. You know, I think that, yeah, Dean's going to, right, Dean could be the next on the list. I could see that.
I have, if we're going to seven, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have Dean at seven, which is kind of just continuing on what we've talked about. So instead of kind of talking about Dean, because I think I've already said what I want to say, I want to go back to the last episode.
What?
Where Elaine won immunity. That was such a good moment in Survivor. I was so happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone was happy for her too,
which is why she's low on my list, because now not only does she have like a great storyline that nobody wants to sit next to her at the end, but now she also has proven that she can win an immunity challenge and she can be quite good at it, even though physically she never looked like such a threat. So I feel
Elaine,
like there could be a big target on Elaine.
I want Elaine to go on like a 5 immunity challenge.
Yeah.
We never know. It could happen.
That would be great if she's our like Terry of this season. It's Elaine of all people.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
And she's so good at playing it off, like, oh, you had to give me this redneck game and I can win this. Can't win anything. Right. Like, she's so good at just being so like, good. Oh, silly old me.
Right.
It just keeps happening.
Right. I think she definitely has shown that she's way smarter than people were giving her credit for. I think somebody even said it, maybe it was Missy said it earlier on in the season that they didn't think that she was very, I don't want to say it was Missy. I don't remember who it was. But
I think it was Missy.
They didn't put a lot of stock in Elaine in terms of as a strategic player. And I think.
Oh, Lauren. Lauren had made a comment.
That's who it was. Yeah. You're right, Alexa. For some reason, it was after the swap. You're right.
Right. They were all in the same tribe. Right. Mm-hmm. I worry for Elaine. I have her low on my list and I'm afraid that she could be a target soon.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of Lauren, that's who I have at my number seven. I think you guys are right, but I'm always nervous of the number two. And that's not saying that I think that Lauren is the number two of her and Tommy, but I think others will see it that way. And so I don't think this is going to be a clean six Vokais getting out these remaining three Lyros, I think everyone's going to start eating each other. And I think Lauren, I think everyone really likes her. I think she's super bubbly. Everyone gets along with her. And I think the way that people, not the, like people really like Elaine. So people aren't going to let Elaine get to the end. People seem to really like Lauren. So they probably won't let her get to the end.
So why is she your number seven?
Well, I think my 7, 8, 9, any of those three could go home. I think any of the three of them have a really good chance of going home. I have, so my eight is Elizabeth. My 9 is Elaine. I know I just finished mine off really quickly. I just think out of that group, it's not going to be Tommy. It won't be Janet. It certainly won't be Nora. I don't really know where Dan's stance is. I think if they want to do something crazy, Lauren is the one that they go for.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to eat themselves, and then
I just feel like they would go for Tommy over Lauren.
Yeah, I think they could,
unless he wins immunity, and right. Then maybe they get rid of her because it takes somebody away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really does depend on who wins immunity,
right?
At this point, moving forward.
Julie, one thing I have to say before we get to your number seven, Alexa just cleared her rankings and you didn't give her any crap for that after you gave me crap for jumping around all day. So I want to know why we're playing favorites really on the specialist here. That's what I'm realizing.
She's my fellow New Yorker. Aren't you in LA?
God. Well, yeah, but I'm actually from the North. I'm like from Jersey. She's from Boston.
Oh, well, I'm from Maryland. So we're all East Coasters. So.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, I wanted a little up here, you know.
I'm your fellow New Yorker too. I take personal offense to that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you? Well, yeah. Okay. You know how I feel about you. Okay. Number seven. Is that what we want for me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That's where I have Janet. I really think that I do think she could win this game, which is why I have her, you know, at number seven. I'm doing the reverse of Phil. Because I just think that, I'm worried with everything that happened with the, you know, the double episode. And even though she seems to have socially been able to get back, with people, something there just makes me feel like they're going to target her at some point. And I'm worried she's not going to make it to the end. I think if she does make it to the end, I think she can easily win. I just worry that she's going to become a target, before a lot of the other people that we've already talked about.
Yeah. I mean, me putting her as high as I did, I think, is just because I think her original Vokai alliance is going to come up for her recently. But if you're looking at threat and who can win and all of that, it definitely makes sense for Janet to be lower in the rankings than where I have her.
Right. And I did just something. I was thinking, you know, we were talking about Jan and Danet. No,
Jan and Danet.
One more time.
Dan and Janet. Okay.
There we go.
I think that they, it seems like they were from the original days on their tribe, the name Vokai, right? Vokai. Mm-hmm. They were, I think they were aligned, right? And now they're like realigned after everything that happened, which we still aren't sure what's going on there with that storyline because it disappeared this week. But I do, I wonder, Dan has but he seemed very tight with Elizabeth and Missy and Aaron in that whole double merge episode. And now two of his people are gone. And so is, and Elizabeth is not, I think she's like dead man walking for me, mm-hmm. but in the next episode. So he's lost almost everybody that he was connected to. And where's my point with all this?
I was believing it, whatever it was.
I don't know what the point was about the connection of Dan seeming to lose a lot of key players for him and his alliances. I don't know where I was going with that.
I think you were saying maybe Dan should be like one or two spots lower on your list. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'm losing my mind. Okay.
That's all right, Julie. It's time to get it back.
Okay. All right, so where are we up to? What are we doing now?
What are we up to now? We're up to eight, except for Alexa, who's done.
I guess I'll be done too.
I think he's the only one that hasn't revealed.
Yeah, Jake, let's hear it.
I'll be done too for 8 and 9.
Okay.
Elizabeth at 8, Janet at 9.
Ooh.
Wow.
How dare you put Janet at 9 on this podcast?
Wow, that is not allowed up in here.
Yeah.
See, I think what people are going to start to realize about Janet is, it's like like she gets to the final four, she wins. Because
it's same with Elaine. No.
Because Elaine would probably lose the fire making challenge. Janet will probably win a fire making challenge. So I feel like people are gonna start realizing. I think Janet recently has kind of slipped under the radar, and I think it's about time that she comes back up. I think people are gonna start realizing how dangerous she really is. Like, she has to make it through this vote and then four more, and then
she wins. Yeah, I hate to say it. I don't want to agree because I'm rooting for her so much. I think that it's very likely she could go home at some point. If it's not this week, it could, right. So my 8 and 9 are, I have Elaine at 8 and I have Elizabeth at 9. Why are you saying, what are you doing?
I'm just saying, I mean, you might have said Elizabeth earlier after I had said Elizabeth, and then you were like, I didn't reveal my number 9, only Phil did that, but anybody was listening closely.
Play back the tape.
Play them back.
So I think we've talked about Elaine. She's just so likable. Now she's won a challenge. People might be like, ooh, like, wait, Elaine can win individual immunity now.
Blind side of your ally.
Although she could be in a good position. Like, I do see that Lauren, Tommy, Elaine, and Karishma thing, like, holding strong now for a bit. So, you know, but I do think she's going to be in trouble at some point. And then I have Elizabeth last just because, I mean, she could be a free agent now. It seems like she has almost nobody. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's an easy vote. Although it never goes the easy vote. So
I know.
I think she's going to be a free agent. I think that Vokai group's going to blow up and they're going to use her.
But I haven't seen any drama to think that they're going to, that leads me to believe that they're going to blow up. Sometimes things don't blow up.
Yeah,
it depends on the personalities of the people in the group and how explosive those personalities are,
and they're all pretty not low-key personalities, logical. But I just this entire season I feel like the people who have gone home have just been Russian roulettes. And I feel like I just don't know when Ronnie was the easy vote, Molly was odd but an easy
vote.
I don't really get why they got rid of her, and so I feel like there haven't been many easy votes. So Elizabeth feels too easy.
Yeah, on this season, it feels out of place. But maybe there's always one easy vote on every season. And maybe this just happens to be that one.
And what we're not thinking about is, because I know, obviously, they even showed it on my season, that the loved ones visit, it's not coming up this episode. I think they would have showed previews for that, obviously. But I think it's coming up the next, for sure.
Okay.
When there'll be
loved ones at 8 or 7.
It'll be like, when it'll be like 8 or 7 left. But it's like, it's on people's minds right now, like, because it's, they're so close to that point. And we don't know who has made deals with each other on, like, okay, if I win, I bring you. If you win, you bring me. Like, that's all anybody is really talking about as it gets closer and closer. And that could, like, really influence who you're going to vote out just based on, wait a minute, like, Lauren and I have been talking about this since day 5. Like, that's how Ron and I were. Like, I don't think that person's going to vote out the person he's, you know, made this deal with so quickly. I do think, even though we're never going to see any of it, it's in their minds, and that could influence just right there who's going to get voted out.
I have, like, Elizabeth at 8. I think she is probably one of the, like, I think we can all agree. Last episode was very, like, just basically just kind of demolished her with her losing.
Don't sugarcoat it.
She was in a pretty good spot with Aaron, and I think that kind of split with the two tribes kind of really affected her game negatively. And I don't know.
I don't see how she's coming back from this, but unless, like, you said, she just finds
If Elizabeth can play if Elizabeth can, like, play this bottom angle to the jury and then play that to the end, then I think she might have a chance.
I don't know. Wait, Phil, what do you think about her?
I have her at 9 as well. Like the good host I am, I finished last. But I had Dina 8 and then Elizabeth at 9. Julie, I can't help it. Okay. But I think that Elizabeth is, I think there's just no way you can rebound. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
How does, How does she come back from losing her two closest allies? And now she's got to go back to a beach where Janet clearly isn't going to work with her because of the whole Dan scenario. Dan doesn't even really seem like he's going to work with her because of the whole Dan scenario. And then you have
who she's close to at this point.
And if she's looking at herself, I don't think she sees herself as one of the goats. And I don't think she should, to be honest.
No.
But if we're talking about this goat army, they're not going to be like, oh, Elizabeth, please be our captain. No, it's going to be Dean, Karishma, Nora, the likes of Dan, probably the likes of that. So I just don't know where Elizabeth fits in here. I think that she's just a sitting duck and maybe she survives one vote. But even Jamal said it in the Ponderosa, or Aaron said it. One of them said it where it was like, I think it was Aaron. He said, I'd rather be here than be Elizabeth right now.
Yeah.
Because dead he thinks Elizabeth is.
Yeah. Right. She's not going to feel very good at the beginning of next episode. That is the worst feeling for her to lose two people in one night.
One thing that I don't think we've talked about yet is that the split happened when there were 11 people left. So there was a tribe of six and a tribe of five. So it was kind of unfair for the people in the tribe of five.
For sure. It does seem a little bit odd, but... Right. Yeah. Nothing's fair.
I had like a mid in episode crisis during when that happened because I was like, I kept finding out they have to split at an even number because that would be fair. So I kept counting people. So
right. You kept thinking it has to be six and six.
One voice in my head told me it was 12. One voice in my head told me it was 11.
Right. He just was very, very disturbed with the unfairness.
It was very weird that they did that.
It is.
I didn't like it.
This feel when I bring these up here.
No, bad.
Definitely more disturbing.
So funny. All right. So those are our rankings.
With four of us.
Yes. Thank you. We're gonna have to see how it all plays out, and how many? I think there's only four episodes left in the entire season.
Yeah, it all ends on the 18th, so it's coming up very, very quickly, and so we're gonna have. I mean, it's crazy how fast we went from 13 to 9. I think this is the first time in Survivor history, not including when there wasn't a finale involved, that back-to-back episodes you lost four people. Mm-hmm. We've lost three and we've lost two, but I don't think we've ever lost four in two episodes when a finale was not included. And so for that to happen, it just like very quickly 13. Now we're at 9 and we're into the end game. And just a couple minutes ago, we were just at the merge. Right. So it happened very, very quickly and it's making it really difficult.
The two double episodes, just like a bam, bam.
Now
we're in kind of mid to late game.
The thing is with these two double episodes or with the two double boots, they both fit together so well. And I know that they've already planned this beforehand. What's going to go on with the TV schedule? Like, this isn't something that Survivor's like, oh, no, these are the two episodes we want to do. This is something CBS decided. But both of these fit together so well where we lose. We lose Kelly and then we lose. Why
Jamal,
can I not?
Jamal.
Jamal, thank you. Kelly and Jamal, and it's the whole Dan storyline, and then the Dan storyline is over. And then we lose Aaron and Missy back-to-back, who were so closely aligned, who were such a big focal point of the previous episode. Like, it really worked out well for them this season, where now we're almost – it's like we're starting all over again at Final Nine, and all the previous storylines are kind of done.
Right. I'm okay with that. I don't mind that. I don't – sometimes, like, when you just see one storyline throughout the entire time – I think it's, I don't know. I'm happy to see like where it goes from here. And if there's like new stuff to be seen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. I have to call one more person in. Hold on. Because I promised her. Zoe.
Zoe.
It's a whole family affair over there.
My social media manager. she doesn't do rankings, but, I wonder if I can we just disconnect all the AirPods? Because she can't hear you.
Okay.
You can disconnect them.
Does it sound? Oh, here, Joey, I'm going to disconnect. Wait, Jake, hold on. I don't know how to disconnect.
Now let's see if Julie can still hear us. Now she's muted, though.
Uh-oh, let's unmute her. Stand by.
I don't know if we can do it.
Oh, no.
Unmute mic. Can't unmute your guest. The mic isn't connected.
Oh, no.
Julie, you're muted.
Put them back in.
Wait, now she's gonna figure it out. Here
we
go.
Sign language.
Her social media manager is on it, so this is great. This is great because it's like we're doing sign language. Alexa, why don't you do a little speaking? Why don't you?
No, this is cool. We've had different screen shares. We've never had like the whole family in for.
I know. And now it's still muted. So we have to talk. We have to walk her through this while she's there. So Julie, at the bottom, you have your microphone at the very bottom. Now you want to click that.
Click your microphone.
And then you want to. There you go.
There you go.
Oh, okay. So we don't need these?
No.
Oh, all right. So we still have to disconnect them. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep. You sound great.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Hi, okay. Zoe.
As you can see, right, this is my technical social media manager who I need.
You're very tech savvy. Thank you. Thanks for coming on, Zoe.
This is Zoe, and she just wanted to say hi. We finished our rankings. Do you have any winner picks for the season? Like, who's, like, your gut, like, you want to win, you're rooting for?
I mean.
No. Do not do that.
It's hard because whenever you think you have a winner pick, they end up, like, getting voted out the next day. Mm-hmm. That always happens to me. They never win. So I don't even know anymore.
Mm. I picked Jamal as my winner, and he left. Left two.
My winner pick was Jason. Jake and I did that draft, and he picked Tommy as his winner pick, and I picked Jason. And I was sad to see Jason go.
I know. Yeah, he was a good one.
Jason was great. Jason, that's just too early.
I thought he had such a good like story arc going because he was on the bottom in the beginning, you know, and kind of like a pariah on his tribe, and then like he made his way back in and he built all these relationships. And I could tell he's such a strategic player. Maybe he'll get a second chance. I don't know. There's a lot of players on this season that I feel like could get a second chance.
Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree. It's a strong cast. It's a very strong,
especially
cast.
That pre-merge. There's a lot. You had Chelsea. You got Molly. You have Jason. I mean, there's just so many people from the pre-merge that there's just too much. There's so much they could have done. There was so much they could have brought to the game, and this is just a really strong cast from top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well,
anything else?
I don't know, Alexa. Do we have anything else?
I'm not sure, Zoe. How has managing Julie's social media been?
It has been
a challenge. I'm not very good at it. I don't have the time.
I remember like you used to spend like 30 minutes trying to get like the perfect caption for your Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
I'd be like,
I still don't understand what Instagram stories are. Everybody's doing these stories. And
Insta story. It's not Instagram story.
I've never posted one because I don't get it. I don't get the stories. I don't get the need for that. The videos of people just – and then they put all this, like, funny caption-y, like, thing graphics. And it's like, it takes a lot of time.
Technical hand motions.
It takes a lot of time. One of my favorite things about Survivor was when we were on the island and, like, you had no phone or internet or laptop, and it was like quite refreshing to go 39 days and not even have to think about it. What?
You can't go like 5 minutes without your phone.
I know. Big 180.
Was this really so refreshing for you? But then you come back to like, I got your phone.
Well, because Survivor, it sucks you in. Like, you know.
Well, what I've always wondered is when you or other contestants, when you come back, is your nose just in your phone for a week? Because you hadn't seen it for that long, or do you still?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, I had my husband like checking all my emails, all my texts, answering everything, either as me or just keeping track of what I needed to really be aware of. So it wasn't like there was so much there when I got home that I needed to like deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's not like I could tell people where I was.
Right.
You know, they didn't really. Only, you know, a handful of my family knew. So I think, you get back into it quite quickly. I'm addicted.
And you've gotten quite good at it now.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I told you with the Twitter stuff. I don't know. I need to like segue into like real life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's what Twitter's for.
No, I don't think so. That's what Insta stories are for. This way everybody can know what you're doing every second of every day. That's the important part.
Every meal, every restaurant you go to.
Yes.
You're not having fun unless you post it on Insta.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'll get on it.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. If you ever end up at an Applebee's, please post it. Because Lauren and her boyfriend were supposed to go to Applebee's with the gift card I got Lauren because we made a bet and I lost.
Yeah.
And so they were supposed to go to Applebee's NFL and she was supposed to. Husband, yeah, with her NFL player husband, her boyfriend. And they were supposed to do. Yeah, they were supposed to do an Insta story of the food because she always does food Insta stories. So if you ever go to an Applebee's, please do a food Insta story for me.
I don't know if there's an Applebee's in New York City. There must be, but I don't know where it is. I've never been to Applebee's, ever.
I have also never been to an Applebee's. I was in a cab home last night. I think there's an Applebee's on like...
There's definitely one.
6th Ave and...
We should...
Wait. 6th maybe?
We should go.
Let's go to Applebee's.
Way too long there.
Yes, it did. No, it's
No. There you are.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah.
We should go to Applebee's in New York City, and then we can Insta story it. And
this sounds great.
You can teach me.
And I will be so jealous.
Need me anymore? Oh, I'll always need you.
Oh,
I don't need you.
Nice. That's how we're going to end it for sure. On that note.
Okay.
Well, for those of you who love to use Insta, make sure to follow us at Survivor Specialists on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Julie, Zoe, Honey, and Jake, we loved having all four of you. Hi, Jake. All four of you. I'm not sure where Honey went, but.
And we're missing Hugo. We have a second dog.
He was just like lying on the couch sideways.
Here, Zoe scoot over.
Well, we loved having all of you on. Wow, this is a Christmas card.
We got the family portrait.
Mark is working, so he is not here.
Great. Sorry, Mark. But we loved having you on. For those of you who will be tuning in this Wednesday night, I will be kicking Phil off and just recapping with Jake instead Wednesday night after the episode. Thank you so much for coming on, all three of you. This was
Thank you, guys.
I have to do something.
You haven't gotten let off
today. Yeah.
But no, it's not somewhere. The one in toys. Don't worry.
I found a dog.
Oh.
What are you playing?
He's
a survivor.
I like how Julie didn't know that.
I'm tone deaf. I actually am.
This is amazing.
Hugo, no, do not. Hugo, you don't want to eat these wooden toys. I don't think you're anywhere.
It takes me a while.
Now you get it.
Hear tunes ever, so I didn't even know that was the Survivor theme song, even though it's my ringtone for the last 7 years, ever since I was trying to get cast.
It looks like me, sort of.
All right, let's say goodbye.
Oh, let's the color.
What?
You're wearing the same color.
Oh yeah,
yes,
Joey, you and the wooden toy.
I'm hitting end broadcast. I can't look at